The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love.
BSV family, welcome to the 42nd episode of your favorite podcast, where we speak the truth, which is the Word of God in love. I am Remy Sozo Eko, and I'll be leading the conversation today with my brother and co-host, Wiley Harris III, also known as the Reverend. What's up, brother?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good, bro. Well, TSV family, you know how it goes. We have to open up our episode in prayer, committing everything into the hands of our sovereign God and thanking him for his grace and mercy. Lord, we just thank you again. We can't get tired of thanking you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your love towards us. We thank you for another day that you have found us worthy to draw breath to in furthering your kingdom agenda, which is what we have gathered to do here now. We invite you, as always, to come speak through us, come take control of our faculties, surrendering all of it to you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have given to us in preparation for this episode. And now that we're about to now speak it, let it be your words, let it be our lips, but your words, Lord. And we bless the hearers of this word, Lord, that you would use this to do a great work in their lives. Speak through us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Rev, in episode 41, you led a conversation focused on image versus identity. Please take a few minutes and recap the highlights of that episode for those members of our TSV family who may have missed that thought-provoking dialogue.
Thank you, brother. The TSV family, in our 41st conversation, we, the hosts of your favorite podcast, led by Holy Spirit, did detail what my brother just laid out, image versus identity. All of mankind is made in the image of God, but not all of mankind are his sons and daughters. Our adoption into the family of God is only ratified by belief and confession of his son, Jesus Christ. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we must conform to the image of him and not identify with the world we are in, but not of. We do this in part by adhering to the whole counsel of God, which is his word, and not just the counsel we are comfortable with. As you continue to connect, subscribe to, and share TSV as led by Holy Spirit, be sure to go back and take a listen to episode 41 for continued renewal of your mind as to who you are through Christ and your spirit, soul, and body identity found in the Word of God. Remember, your favorite podcast is on all major digital streaming platforms for your spiritual edification and enrichment. We thank you, our faithful community, for your continued support.
Thank you, brother. TSV family, for those of you who listened to our 41st episode, you will recall that at the end of that episode, while providing a preview for episode 42, I stated that we will be focusing on the family. Well, during my prep time for the episode, Holy Spirit pointed out to me that I should peel the layers back a bit and concentrate on the main nucleus of the family, specifically the man.
Amen.
Brother, that would be the focus of this episode, family, and the beginning of a three-part series titled The Man, the Husband, and the Father. Today's discourse will be centered around the man, and in episode 44, we will examine the husband, while in episode 46, the father. As expected, today's dialogue may reference the husband and the father, but we will be spending more time focused on those subjects in the future episodes that I just mentioned. In examining the man today, we will start by defining biblical manhood. Then our conversation will switch to some ways the enemy of our souls continue to scheme against a man's authority and how kingdom men can claim their authority. Then in our final segment, as is fond of us, we will turn the focus on ourselves as we look at the daily life of a man of God. Now that I've provided the flow of our episode for today, I'm going to take a few minutes to set the table for our discourse. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, the Bible says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." Quite an interesting verse, because as much as I know, since the creation of Adam, men have always walked the earth. So how come the Lord God is not only searching for a man, but can't find no one? It takes me back, Rev, to a relatable occurrence in the Bible, back in Eden, where a similar question was being posed directly to the first Adam. "Where are you?"
Amen.
Brother, the current state of our world today begs the same question. Where are the men? There are billions of males in the world, but where are the men? Now, this leads to the first conversation point for today. If there are so many males in the world, but there still exists an absence of men, what then is the definition of manhood? Well, as followers of Jesus Christ, we believe the word of God to be truth. So that's where we will look to for answers. Rev, please get on the mic and define biblical manhood.
Brother Sozo, I appreciate that opening and laying and setting the communion table for us today to discuss, not just with each other, but with our global audience, what it means and what it looks like to be a man in the kingdom of God, essentially, and just walking in the earth.
Yes.
And I like how you sharpened manhood here with the word biblical. There is a worldly, fleshly definition of manhood that the enemy of our souls loves to prop up, exalt, if you will, in front of us as men of God. So before I define what biblical manhood is, the definition of which we find in Scripture, as you have rightly stated, let's tell our audience a little bit about what biblical manhood isn't. And as you said, we will define this from Scripture. We will define what biblical manhood is from Scripture, and we will define what biblical manhood isn't from Scripture. And this won't be a long dissertation, brother, because it doesn't really have to be when it comes to what a unfaithful, unbiblical man is. It's very clear in Scripture. So let's look at two verses from his word here as I build my answer. In 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12, it says, "But you, O man of God." So here's Timothy from Holy Spirit speaking directly to the man of God. "Flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." These scriptures are very lucid and can also be used to answer your question as well. A man of God, which I will define in a moment, sows to the Spirit and reaps after the Spirit. An ungodly man sows to the flesh and reaps after the flesh. He pursues the works of the flesh and eschews the works of righteousness. Because he isn't a believer in Jesus Christ, he doesn't know what it means to be a man as God has purposed, or even have the capacity to know, considering the old sin nature he still participates in. Additionally, being an unbeliever, he knowingly or unknowingly, in some sense, takes his life direction from the enemy of our souls. He operates in this world naturally, filtering life through the carnal, unrenewed mind. An unbelieving man is an enemy, a hater of God. So let me put a pin here, because that portion of natural manhood could be its own show, and it may be part of our conversation from Holy Spirit for unbelievers. And as I mentioned a little earlier, my brevity in expanding upon what biblical manhood isn't is only because of the immense clarity provided on the topic throughout Scripture. So now let me shift my focus to biblical manhood, specifically defining what a man of God is. Now, brother, there are plenty of attributes in Scripture that define for us what men of God look like. We just read Scripture telling us that men of God pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. they fight the good fight of faith. They lay hold on eternal life through belief and confession of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:14 is clear. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. A man of God is led by the Spirit of God to pursue the works of righteousness, the ways of the Spirit. He is instructed by the Spirit of God to sow to the Spirit, and he obeys. The man is the seed carrier, sower, and tender of the garden that God has entrusted to the man to steward for him. That garden is himself, his family, if he has one yet, his ministry, and his business or job, along with the relationships that stem from those places of stewardship. He adheres to the whole counsel of God. In essence, he obeys God in all things. He understands his position as a son who serves our God. He does so without question, exhibiting the faith of a little child in the sense that he complies to the direction of God, again, without question, demonstrating wisdom and humility. He is a worshiper of his Creator, God our Father, and has devoted his life to fulfilling the purpose God created him for. Prayer and praise in the Spirit are his calling cards. He allows the Word of God to do its work through him as a chosen vessel on the earth to win souls for the kingdom. Now, Brother Sozo, as I end my answer, I'm going to end it with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We've read these verses multiple times. We've read them in probably half of our episodes, but this is important to reiterate because it talks about the man of God here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Adhere to the whole counsel of God, obedience to him in all things. At a high level, brother, that's the definition of biblical manhood.
And I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit because he, as expected, just got you to give our listeners some meat. If I start from the back, moving up, so to speak, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So looking at that alone, we see that a biblical man, biblical manhood, is based on the word of God. It's based on scripture, all parts right. of it. Yeah.
That's right.
And it says, so that the man of God may be complete. That means your marriage, your business, your friendship, everything, all parts of you complete when it is grounded on scripture.
Yeah,
on
it's the a process. That's the yes. process. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, it's interesting, bro, that being a male is more of a biological thing, mm-hmm. right? But manhood is something that you have to work at,
right?
When you say, right. so yeah, when you say process, it brings that to mind. Like it's something that has to be developed. You have to consciously want it.
Maturity, yes,
yes, mm-hmm. yeah. Because if you continue just as you are, then you are just a male. But manhood now, you have to put in that extra work to get into the place of manhood.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Amen. 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 That's so good. Well. Before I add a little bit to the conversation here, defining biblical manhood, I want to implore my brothers listening to this episode to resist any urge to become discouraged or feel judged. Whatever mistakes we've made in the past, we can have faith that Christ has redeemed us. And any areas where we currently struggle that is highlighted during this episode are places where we need to invite Holy Spirit to help us be the men we were created to be.
Amen.
Amen, brother. As my brother has stated, and I alluded to in the beginning, our society, the culture, and this generation, more than any other, has furiously attempted to challenge and change the definition of manhood, which makes conversations about gender controversial when it ought not to be so. As followers of Jesus Christ, as I stated earlier, the Word of God is the standard for our lives, hence the need to biblical define manhood, not a definition based on culture or different upbringing or opinions, but on the verity of the word of God. Honestly, though, regarding this topic, I believe it is important to do so, not just for followers of Jesus Christ, but for all men, to seek the definition as found in Scripture, because our sovereign God is the creator of manhood, and even the culture, as hard as it may try, cannot alter that verity. We know to succeed in any position, one must be fully educated of its responsibilities. And as such, it is crucial for a biblical man to have knowledge of who he is and the authority given to him by our sovereign God. This starts from living in humility and obedience to God, having the right relationship with our Maker. Such a relationship fully equips him to fulfill all of his other obligations.
Come on.
Brother, humility can be in the form of repentance, truly acknowledging Christ as Savior, or constant reliance upon God for everything we need. It all depends on where we are in our walk with him.
Hmm.
Most importantly, though, humility leads a biblical man to continuously study the word of God so that he may learn and understand the will of God.
Yes.
Brother, this is picking back up what you just shared in 2 Timothy 3:16, the instruction that is given in Scripture so that the man of God may be complete in every good work.
Amen.
So let's look at it a little bit more. Let's look at Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now let's go also to Romans 12, verse 2, a verse we know and are familiar with. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
I love the word of God.
Oh, bro.
Man.
I love the fact that it says that you may prove.
Come on with that.
That you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's dig a little bit deeper and look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And this is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
The heart. Yes, yes, yes.
Bro. So here are other passages of scriptures for you to look up. I won't go into reading them, but you can look this up during your Bible study. Titus 4, verse 8, Luke 12, verse 31, and Matthew 6, verse 33. Now, having a knowledge of what our sovereign God requires of us as biblical men is just the beginning, scratching the surface, so to speak, because we are also required as a next step and a very important step to submit to that knowledge. And that's where obedience comes into play. Let's look at Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Bro, there's a common thread going on here. For then you will make your way, and then you. Personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
We always talk about that.
Always.
Bro. Okay, now let's look at Psalms chapter 1, starting from the first verse. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Amen.
Bro. Bro. Man, the word of God is so...
powerful. It's alive.
Bro.
Relevant. Yesterday, bro. Today, and
Come
forever.
Look, good. Look at it. He says you shall be like a tree A tree brings forth fruit. Your family will prosper. Your family will blossom. You will be planted by the reserve of water. You will be next to the source of anything you need. At any time you want it, it is there. And then you will now bring forth this fruit in its right season. Mm. The leaf will not wither. And then whatever you do will prosper. Man. So looking at all of this, brother, an example of a man who lived such a life of humility and obedience here on earth is our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He is the personification of a biblical man.
Hmm.
Besides being full of the Holy Spirit, not filled, mark my words, I said full of the Holy Spirit, and living in total dependence on and obedience to the will of God, Jesus Christ also had knowledge of the word and used it against Satan when he was tempted. He endured opposition and never lost sight of his mission to fulfill the Father's will. He was a man of prayer, stepping aside several times to pray, even teaching his disciples how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man of love and sacrifice. All of these characteristics of a biblical man. Now, other attributes of such a man will include leader, protector, and provider. Some my brother, the Rev, has already highlighted, and we'll touch on others as well as the conversation continues in this episode or other episodes within the series. Rev, anything you'd like to share here?
Before we go to our second question, just the fact that you hit us with a bunch of scripture, brother, and that's exactly where we go to define what a man is. Mm. Our God puts it in his instruction manual for life, which is what the word of God is, essentially a how-to on being a man in my kingdom and to walk in my earth the way that I purposed you to walk in my earth. So you go to scripture and then you read that and you immerse yourself. Soak yourself is your term that you like to use. Yeah. In the word of God, renewing your mind, changing it from the old way of thinking, the way of the world, that defines what a male or man or whatever they want to call it is, and focus it on what the word of God says that a man is. Mm. And when we stay in that space, then we'll be able to be led as a son of God. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Within that peace, though, you have to have been yielded to our God in humility to be led.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that more in the second and third stanza. But until you, man of God, listening to our show, decide in humility, I will yield to the one that created me, that purposed me, that has put me on this earth.
Come on.
Then until you do that, you will struggle. There will be issues. There will be challenges. Mm-hmm. And you'll look to blame everyone else instead of looking in the mirror at your reflection and saying to your reflection, to yourself, get in line.
Come on.
Where are the men? We're going to find out where they are these next two segments.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you're just joining us, if you're getting into the conversation in the middle stanza, maybe you're just skipping around to see. We're talking about the man, the husband, the father. This episode is focused mostly on the man. Here's the creation story as recorded in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Psalms 8, verses 6 through 8 also bears witness to this verity. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. TSV family, both passages of scripture use a fascinating word, dominion.
Hmm.
Brother, naturally, I Googled the definition, which is the power or right of governing and controlling. Sovereign authority. Now, if we switch these words in the passages I read earlier, in Genesis chapter 1, 26, we have, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have the power or right of governing and controlling, sovereign authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And in Psalms 8, 6 through 8, you have made him to have the power or right of governing and controlling, sovereign authority over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Wow. Sovereign authority over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Rev, not every man of God understands the sovereign authority which is his inheritance or how to walk in it. But you know who is fully aware of the extent of that authority and is perpetually plotting against it? The enemy of our souls. Brother, please kick off this segment by listing some of the ways the enemy of our souls continue to scheme against the authority given to us by our sovereign God, and how can kingdom men claim the authority?
Brother, before I do that, you said something in your opening for the second segment about we having sovereign authority. We have authority. Our authority isn't sovereign, though. It comes from the sovereign God, and we can enact that authority in this world, in heaven and on earth. But the sovereignty means that we are in complete control and autonomy. And so we're not sovereign in that capacity. We are using sovereign authority. We're using his sovereign authority as delegated to us. But we don't have sovereign authority. We have authority through his name, through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But the sovereignty comes from the one that gave it to us. And we steward that authority as he directs us.
Yes.
So that piece, just kind of sharpening that for our audience. And I know that's what you're meaning, but I want to make sure that our audience understands it, because when I heard it, it could be confusing. And so I wanted to make sure that that was clear before I answered your question.
Thank you, brother. So what I did there was do a flip of the definition of dominion for the word dominion within those passages of scripture. But I'm so grateful again to Holy Spirit for using you to highlight that, yes, we don't have sovereign authority because we have a sovereign and we are using his authority, the authority given to us, but we don't have any sovereign authority in ourselves. That was just a switch of the words.
So, brother, as I answer your second question, talking about Genesis 1:26 here, remember that the enemy of our souls has no power or authority in and of himself. See, this is where I think believers in Jesus Christ, men of God specifically, give the enemy too much credit. They make it seem like he has authority and power, and he has none. He needs permission from you to successfully attack you. I notice I put a disclaimer before attack using the word successfully. He will make attempts to attack you, but remember, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Come on.
However, if you fear the attack, it will prosper in your life. Job said, "The thing I feared the most came upon me."
Yep.
You have to participate in his plot. Scheme was your word for the question. For him to have any success in his attempts to steal, kill, and destroy your life, he wants to use your authority.
Come on.
Delegated sovereign authority that comes from God, that comes to you for your use in this natural realm. The delegated authority from our God.
Yes.
So what are some ways he attempts to do this? In Genesis 3, 1 through 5, we see one of the central strategies he uses against us. When he came to Eve and said, "Hath God said?" Let's read those verses of scripture for context. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die, for God knows that in that day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Two points of emphasis here, brother. One, he wants you to question the leading, the direction of God. Now, he does this through a myriad of ways, and specifically in this scenario, he went after Eve by getting her to focus on herself, to focus on something that was perceived to be a benefit that she didn't have. Much like he does today with us, he worked to get Eve to question the command of God through her husband, which then manifested in her choosing herself over the word of her husband, her authority. This sinful act by Eve aided Satan in his attempt to usurp authority from the man, Adam. But the task wasn't complete. Put a placeholder here, community, while I unpack my second point. In Genesis 2:16, we read, "And the Lord God commanded him," him is Adam here, "you may freely eat from every tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." That directive from God to Adam differs from what Eve said God said when she answered Satan's question, "Hath God said?" in Genesis 3:3. This is my second focal point. As men of God, when we get a directive from God that is applicable to all under our charge, those we are responsible for, we must share it explicitly as God says and not add to his sovereign decree. This will cause confusion and give the enemy an entry point. God didn't say not to touch it. He said, don't eat it. He also spoke this directly to Adam and not to Eve. So we know that Adam said this to Eve while also adding, don't touch it. Now, some of you may think this is semantics. However, let's read Deuteronomy 4:2, which says, "Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." This is a direct command from God. He is saying here, don't add to or take away from what I have told you. Adam added something to God's command and passed it off to Eve as a command from God when it was really his command. His addition here caused confusion and allowed for the enemy to use his words against his helpmeet. Now, brother, before I get into the latter half of your question, did you want to jump in here and say something? I know I kind of unpacked a lot here and I wanted to give you that opportunity before I went to the next part of your question.
Thank you so much, because your contribution will be the only contribution for this episode. We are in each other's notes word for word. I love how Holy Spirit illuminated that piece, right? Because we have heard this taught several times, you know, oh, this is what happened. But he took you back, like, okay, this is what Eve said to the serpent. Now come back and see what I said to
him. Come on. That's right.
There is now a break in the communication, which leads now to how we lead as men, which is opening a door for the enemy. In any, and when you now dive more into that piece of, we received instruction and then we're like, you know what, let me tweak it a little bit, you know, let me add this piece, and then let me change this piece, and then you go, and then you it now becomes your law, but you now use the name of God to bring it to your wife, to your children, to those that are within your sphere of influence, which immediately invalidates your authority right there by what you're doing.
That's right. It's deception. Yes. It's what the enemy does. You're operating exactly the way he wants you to. You're taking the word of God and you're adding to it. So now it's not the word of God anymore. It's the word of you. Yeah.
And one other piece here, brother, before you continue. He said, oh, you won't die. You will just be like God. The same thing he did in heaven. I want to be like. He continues to do that. Always continues to speak to the flesh. Oh, no, you can just be like God, taking you out of authority, taking you out of submission, obedience. Bro, please continue.
No, I got it. The great part about this is that as you continue to listen to this TSV audience, men of God specifically, you'll see some places in your life. Hey, wait a minute. When I hear from Holy Spirit, when I hear from the Lord and I share it with my wife, am I doing it without addition or subtraction? Because when I do that,
I'm now having to be responsible for those words as opposed to them coming from God, which then he is responsible for the manifestation of those words and those actions. So TSV family, men of God, don't get discouraged here. Let's just continue. And as we do that, let Holy Spirit show you exactly where you are so that you can change, getting better. Or if there's places where you're already doing well, continue to build in that, to continue in the maturity and the fortification of that position.
Come on.
So as I continue my answer here, in addition to getting you to question God and using your deceiving words when relaying God's directives to those you are responsible for, in his attempt to sow confusion in your garden, Satan also wants you to focus on people or yourself being your enemy and not him being the actual enemy of your soul, as we see in Scripture. Now, as you know, Brother Souza, we have discussed this in great detail in several episodes and offline, but I wanted to add a little more here before I answer the second part of your question. If Satan can get men and women of God who identify with the newness of life in Christ Jesus, clothed with all dominion and authority given to us by Christ when exercised in conjunction with his name, to battle against each other in our families, our ministries, our businesses, in every aspect of our life, we have placed our focus on someone other than the true enemy of our souls, and we will live a defeated life. That disobedience here, specifically for the man of God who is the head of the family, creates an environment for confusion and every evil work to be present for you and those connected to you to participate in. This is from the King James in James 3:16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. This is what your disobedience sets up, men of God. It sets up confusion in your home. It sets up strife in your home. It sets up the environment, making it conducive for that evil work, for that work of the flesh to operate in your home. And you allowed it as the authority. Adam didn't see Eve as his helpmeet. He saw her as someone forced on him, someone to control. Brothers that are out here, are you looking at your wife in this capacity? She is your helper. We're going to talk about this more in this series, but how do you view her? Do you view her as someone God forced on you? I don't care about the circumstances of life. These are places where you have to understand, don't think that it was forced on you.
Yes.
You want this. You want this position. You want to be here so that you can operate the way he purposed you to. Adam wasn't focused on tending the garden he was given as a good steward by kicking the enemy out of his dominion. He focused on control to get Eve to do what he wanted her to do, as opposed to the direct command of God. So, brother, we can claim our territory, so to speak, and take new ground for the kingdom by not questioning God.
Come on.
Not questioning his directives.
Come on.
Not adding to what he says when we have our teaching hat on, if you will.
Yeah.
And directing our attention and using our spiritual weapons given to us by our Lord and Savior in his name against the enemy of our souls, Satan.
Come on.
We do that, brother, by adhering to the whole counsel of God in complete humility and obedience, which is demonstrated by following his leading. This comes only from our continued conforming to the image of Jesus Christ through the renewing of our minds and reflecting his image to the world.
My brother, I'm gonna just say one or two things and we'll skip to the third one, because there's nothing I can add to that, brother. You killed it. That piece about conforming in Romans 8:29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers.
Predestined. Oh,
bro.
Another topic, boy. Yes.
That's
yes,
exactly,
bro.
What you were just talking about.
Yes.
That piece now, where you shared, which is one area I wanted to highlight, your relationship with your wife. We've had an episode where we focused on the Christian marriage, where we talked about how you treat your wife affects your prayer life. And your prayer life affects your effectiveness within the kingdom, your purpose. So when you pick that out, that is just the Spirit of God leading here, because most men would use that. And that's why that verse in the Bible, women must submit, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but it's become controversial because some men of God, in quotes, have used that as spiritual abuse.
Sure.
Yeah, because this is somebody that is created as a helpmate, but you are now treating them in a way that is not a godly view of a woman as a biblical man. You're not supposed to mistreat your woman. You're not supposed to abuse them in any way, physically, sexually, emotionally, you know? So, yeah, man.
You know, when you said that about women submitting, men submit too. You see, they don't, nobody focuses on that. What do you think when God commanded us to love our wives? What do you think that is? It's submission.
Yes.
I mean, and again, this is the understanding of what the Word of God says and then how it applies into your life. And you will only be able to do that through relationship with your most important relationship in this natural realm, with Holy Spirit. And that's where you have to be as a man of God. And I think that this is something that, as we continue to unpack in this third question, and then throughout the rest of this series, all of those that are listening will understand just the very importance of a man and the relation of that man within the family, within this world that we live in.
Yes.
And until that is understood and the foundation of that reset and then built off of, we're going to continue to see a lot of these challenges that we have in the church, that we have in the world, because it starts with men, bro. Not with women,
bro.
With men.
Bro.
And that's what we're going to continue to discuss, brother.
Bro, okay, you just touched on another topic here that was not in my notes, bro. Because when you now talk about the foundation of the society, it brings out what you've said about Satan, one of his schemes, getting us to focus on this, on that. That's what's happening too. We're looking, oh, what's wrong with the society? Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. It's TV. Oh, you know, it's politics. No,
it's the man. It's the man.
Come on.
He's out of line.
Bro.
And as I mentioned earlier, he doesn't know how to be one if he's not a believer in Jesus Christ. He has no idea.
No.
Because the one that gave him life, he's not committed to. He's not aligned with. He has no fidelity to. He doesn't believe in. So how is he going to know who he is in this natural world? He was placed in this natural world. That's what Adam was. He was placed in the garden. God put him there.
Come on.
So what do you think you came from, man?
Bro.
You flow from that.
Bro.
And until you operate in that place, you will be walking in this world blindly.
Yes.
And then you're leading people. The blind leading the blind. Come on. This is what's happening here, brother. And it's unfortunate because we don't spend enough time on this.
Yes.
With the man.
Yes.
The man is emasculated. They put him off to the side, put him over there in the corner and let him, or satiate him with whatever dope or drugs or whatever to kind of keep him in a certain place and not allow him to prosper and to bloom and to lead as God called him to.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
Bro, I was thinking here when you talk about all that, right? If we look at earthly kingdoms, we have the king of this kingdom and the prince of this kingdom. When you are a prince within that kingdom, you have, there are certain things you're supposed to operate within. If you step out of that kingdom, you don't have that authority anymore. So
that's
to your
right.
point about, oh, the man, not an unbeliever, not understanding his full authority. Yes, you can't, because you are no, you don't, you're not in submission to the one who gave you that authority.
And come on with that.
You have been blessed with my nephew, you know. Now, if he is not sitting with you to understand how does a harassed man operate, what is the foundation of a harassed man? What is the makeup of a harassed man? He would not be able to function in the fullness of what all of that is.
Come on.
Without that relationship, there will be places that will be lacking. And that's the same thing now when we talk about a man in relationship with his heavenly father.
Hmm.
Submission.
Yes.
Obedience.
Mm.
The enemy comes. You can look at that. You don't, hey, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, a little sin doesn't hurt nobody. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does the Word of God say? bro. We got
a little it. A little poison in the water. Just drink. Yeah, just drink. Drink.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
You would never do that, come on, man. It's that's the little bit of sin. I know. Yeah. Let's keep going.
Let's move on. TSV family, to continue the conversation about kingdom men claiming the authority here, let's zoom in more and examine the daily life of a man of God. I'm going to ask my brother to just jump on the mic and answer that question. What does the daily life of a man of God look like, brother?
To answer your question, Brother Sozo, let's read Joshua 24:15 from the King James. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the little g gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the little g gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Come on.
Brother, every day I wake up, I thank God for waking me up and giving me the choice to choose him daily in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. He chose me before the foundation of the world to be one of his sons. So my choice was and is to adhere to the whole counsel of God in every area of my life. I demonstrate that to myself and the world by how I live my life. Now, I put a disclaimer on myself because God already knows if I'm going to walk out this purpose. He knows that. I don't, but I've committed to. I'm living this time in real time, this natural time. He's already created time before the foundations of the world.
Come on.
I demonstrate that to myself and the world by how I live my life, how I shepherd my household, tending to my familiar garden, how I serve in my ministry capacity, leading in humility, how I seek daily counsel from Holy Spirit to steward the businesses that he has allowed me to manage for his use, for his work in the earth. Inclusive of all of that, by faith and God's grace, I live an obedient life to him, displaying my love for him to the world. All of these actions have become habitual in my life and not just intentional. Again, this is all by his grace. I don't have to make myself do these things. This way of living is who I am. It is maturing in the ways of our Lord and Savior, conforming to his image, reflecting Christ in the earth. Not in perfection, mind you, but in humility, knowing that every aspect of my life has been chosen for me before the foundations of the world. I am fully persuaded to the fact that he alone knows the plans, knows my life's path, and that I have the privilege to live life every day according to his will, been given the daily choice to do so. And brother, Ephesians 1, 4 through 6 from the NIV says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Brother, as I have matured in the faith through trials and perceived setbacks, I have chosen not to question Holy Spirit's leading in the sense that I don't do what he says. I do have questions when I don't understand his leading, which compels me to pray in the Spirit. But these questions don't keep me from obedience. His purposes and plans for kingdom men cannot be thwarted, Brother Sozo. And I am gratified to be a man of God because of Jesus Christ, meet for his use in his kingdom.
Brother, I'm going to pull you back to the mic here. Dig a little bit into intentionality versus habit.
Okay, brother. I like how you're bringing offline conversations online. It's all good. I like it. So the intentional piece is something that we hear a lot in the church. I need to be intentional. But do we understand the root of that word? The root is intent. Intent is what I think I'm going to do. I want to do, but I haven't fully committed. So
I have to be made. I'm making myself. I'm forcing myself to do it, as opposed to the word habitual, which means that I just do it without thinking. It's an involuntary aspect. It's almost like breathing. You can make yourself breathe at times, but then there's other times when you're asleep, or even when you're not thinking about it, you're breathing. When you're speaking, you're breathing. You're not making yourself breathe. So I am focused on now, by His grace, through maturity of the faith, staying in the Word of God, immersing myself, the renewing of my mind, which continues on a daily, hourly, minute by minute basis at times, for it to become habitual, to be a part of my core, to where I immediately respond that way, that I don't have to think about it. I don't want to come up and say to myself, oh, did I tell my wife I love her today? Did I go and engage with my children? Again, you may have to start that way, though.
And
that's fine. Nobody's discounting being intentional.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that's not the end game.
Come on.
You go from being intentional to being habitual, to where it's always happening. You respond in that way at all times, not having to force yourself do it. Because eventually, if you stay in that place of intentionality, you'll stop because you feel like you're being made to. Mm. It's something I gotta do as opposed to something I wanna do.
Mm.
So there's the compare and contrasting of habitual and intentional, brother.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. It's a growth process from being a male to a man.
That's right. That is a very good summation of what I just said. That's it right there.
Yeah.
Going from male to man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. We're having so much fun. Let me add a little bit now. Of course, I have to define what the daily life of a man of God looks like through my eyes. And in doing that, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 16, starting from the 13th verse. It says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." Brother,
that you do.
Yes, yes, yes. That right there is the daily life of a man of God.
Mm.
You watch. That's this we're talking about now, the protector part of this now, of watching over your family, you know, watching over being a steward of all God has given you, right? Watching over the business, watching all over that. And then also we now have you standing fast in the faith. Whatever the world may bring, whatever may come against you, you hold on to your confession, as the Bible says. You hold on to the faith of what you know to be true. Be brave. I mean, so if the Bible is telling us to be brave, then that means that there might be a need, or there might be a situation where the timidity might appear, right? There might be a time where we might lack what it needs to be men of God, to lead our families, to be faithful stewards of all He's entrusted to us. So the Bible is asking us here to be brave. And it goes on again, kind of reiterating it, saying, be strong. Then it continues with, let all that you do be done with love.
Mm.
So the daily life of a biblical man of God or a man of God is being watchful, standing strong in the faith, being brave and strong, and let love be the source of all that we do with our wives, with our children. And there is a little bit also with that, if we want to pull that in some more, you know, a biblical man loves his wife, you know, as we see in Ephesians 6, 22, also provides for the family and are strong and firm in the faith, as I just read. But also there is the part about disciplining the children in love so that you don't, as the Bible says, you don't spare the rod and spoil the child.
Right.
So a biblical man of God daily is watching, making sure that his garden is tended to, as my brother said. And also he's under divine authority.
That's right.
Something my brother shared initially, because when you wake up, you understand, like, well, December, January, March, whatever it is, October 5th, was given to me. This is not mine. Like, let me just go. You know, like, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm alive. Now you've given me breath. What am I supposed to do today? How am I supposed to steward my time? Where do you want me to focus? Who should I be praying for? Like you always share about, brother. And, you know, all of that, it ties into the daily life of a biblical man of God. Anything you want to add, brother?
And the fact that we just need to make sure as men of God that we recognize that this is a process.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some of us are in different places in the process. And this is why, as men of God, in that community specifically, yes, we need to continue to reach, to share with others the experiences, the things that we've gone through. No one's perfect. Nobody on this show is perfect. Nobody in this world is perfect. Nobody that's standing on those pulpits are perfect. Nobody that's standing behind that podium in the Oval Office is perfect. Nobody is perfect.
None. None.
So we need to make sure that as we continue to walk through this series, that the men of God that are listening to this recognize that there's a process.
Yes.
So be honest about where you are in the process. That's how you're going to grow.
Yes.
So you may be strong in one area, but there's another area where you're lacking in a little bit. Well, allow Holy Spirit to show you what that is, because all he's attempting to do is to lead you to where he wants you to go, to fulfill your purpose, wherever that may be.
Yeah.
Wherever you find yourself, scripture says, therewith be content. And as a man of God, be content with where you are, but also understand that there's more.
Yes.
So go through that process. So as he continues to elevate you and you yield to the leading, then he'll show you these places and then you can help others. It's not just about you. So yes, we're fortifying and we're strengthening and we're speaking to the men of God here. Yeah. But as you get this, now share it with others, other men of God, so that they can be lifted and they can be fortified and it can filter down into their families. And then we can start to change and rebuild what we see around us in this natural realm because of you. Man of God has decided to take your rightful place.
Come on, come on, Rev. Come on, come on. What you just said, so it's so important for a man of God. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. You have to. A few minutes ago, you shared about how the enemy deceives us and make us to start thinking of somebody being the enemy, you know, a person. And I bring this up because when men come together, it says iron sharpens iron. You know, we always use that scripture. Somebody pointed it out to me, like, do you know what that means? Have you just Google it, the video where iron is sharpening iron. Do you see how messy it is? The first thing the enemy will get you to do is to walk away like, this is a... And you stop that sharpening process.
Come on with that. Yes.
A man, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but anybody that does that job of sharpening iron with iron has to be protected, like protect themselves because of all the sparks going off. Person was sharing with me about, look at that environment. There's nothing. It's all messy. Sparks are flying off and all that, but there is something taking place. And within all that sparks going off and edges being brushed and some, you might like, that's why I had to share that in the beginning. And you have continued to reiterate that. This is not a chance for you to be like, somebody's sitting in judgment or be discouraged or feel like, man, this is such a high standard. We started from somewhere.
Come on.
But the difference is, like you just stated, we knew there was more and we're willing to step up to more.
That's right. The iron sharpening iron. We're foraging, we're fortifying, we're strengthening each other.
Bro.
But see, men get prideful. They don't want to show weakness.
No.
So we hide these places, and then when men come into our lives that are meant by Holy Spirit to help us, like you said, it gets messy quickly when the iron is sharpening itself against itself, and then you run away. Mm-hmm. So the process stops or is stunted, and now you go look for something a little softer to come against you to sharpen you, but it's not. It's dull.
No, come on.
So there's no sharpening. And if anything, it's weakening you. It's dulling you.
Yes.
And the sad part about it is we don't see it that way.
No.
But we're comfortable over there more. So if you're comfortable in those places, then maybe you need to take a look and say, okay, why do I need to be comfortable here?
Yeah, exactly.
I need to be learning here. So there's something that's missing. Mm. And again, you have to be led by Holy Spirit here.
Yes,
nobody's suggesting that you cannot have a level of comfortability in your life. And when I say that, I'm saying that you're operating in ease. Scripture says the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. So there is a place in that.
Come on.
But my point is that as you're going through those places and those things, there will be some messy places, to your point.
Yeah.
Iron sharpening iron. So men of God,
Listen to this and get it into your spirit, because it's going to help you, your families, and everybody that you're connected to.
Man of God, we hope that you listening to this episode today has blessed you. If you're a woman of God listening to this, share it with your spouse, with a hobby, share it with your brothers, your nephews. We need men of God to rise up to their God-given authority and take dominion.
Yes.
We need it in our schools, in our businesses, in all aspects of life. We need biblical men to rise up.
Amen.
Any man who wants to live up to God's definition of manhood has real work to do. He must devote his energies to swimming against society, because society stands to weaken man, to reduce the effectiveness of man. When you find yourself in places where society is praising you, check to make sure that you're fully in control of your garden and you have not opened the door for the enemy in pursuing the applause of men.
Come on.
Yeah.
The praise of
men. The praise of men. So I will lower my standard here. I won't do what the Bible says, because, you know, people love me.
No conviction.
He must aim high and equip himself to become an able leader of a strong and capable woman, and a builder of family and society. And this will be our focus as we continue in this series, looking at the husband and the father.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Brother, stay on the mic here and just give the family a preview of episode 43, what they should expect.
Next week, the hosts of your favorite podcast will have a conversation titled Stewardship in the Kingdom of God. By His grace, we will provide background as to what a steward is in God's kingdom, what a faithful and unfaithful steward looks like, and how we continue in faithful stewardship in the Kingdom of God. It's another end time message for the TSV community and the body of Christ as a whole. We look forward to you joining us for episode 43.
Thank you, brother. That would be a very interesting conversation, kind of a leading up of what we've just been talking about regarding stewardship and all God has blessed us with. Let's close episode 42 in prayer. Spirit of the living God, thank you. We just thank you for the work that you're doing in those that have heard our conversation today. We thank you for the work that you continue to do in us, so that we will continue to be conformed to the image of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you continue to impact in us the knowledge of the authority we have as biblical men. We now use ourselves as a point of contact to brothers, wherever they may be, in what stage they may be, those that may be listening to this and struggling with any aspect that we have pointed out. We just pray that you would help them to fight through. You have called us to be head of household. You've called us to be loving husbands, to lay our life down for our wives. Without you, we can't do it. We thank you as we continue to walk in obedience and submission, that you will continue to manifest your glory within us, so that we will live as kingdom men, fulfilling your agenda for our lives. We bless you. We glorify you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother.
Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God, in love. All the blessings.